All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. And we left off last week in the 9th verse with that thrilling thought of the salvation of your souls. And again, that's the salvation that's spoken of there in Romans 1:16, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I would hope not, dear brothers and sisters. I don't believe we'd be gathering ourselves together this evening if we were. And again, it's all by grace. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank God it's all inclusive. And praise God, the day we're going to see Jesus, that wondrous salvation, the completion of that. I'm just, again, so thankful of what God's doing. Now, we're going to move on with that thought in verse 10 of the first chapter of 1 Peter. And here we go. "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." And we'll stop there for a moment. Now, how wonderful. The very grace of God. The Old Testament worthies we're reading about here, dear brothers and sisters. And we see that these Old Testament worthies are saved by grace. Now, why would that not be surprising? It's still the same grace of God. It always was, always will be. It's the wondrous grace that saves anyone. But yet, you'll see here as we read this, it's exciting because these Old Testament worthies still could not fully look into the grace as God has now allowed us to see this, or these dear brothers here. And how they wanted to look into this. It says in this first verse, or this 10th verse we just read, it says they inquired and they searched. This is an examination. I'd like you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. And it wasn't too long ago we were rejoicing in this very similar matter of the Old Testament worthies and what they were given and how precious, all by faith. But again, let's read in the 39th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews about our dear brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, the reward that they were given in faith all throughout the 11th chapter. But look what it says in the 39th verse. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith." And what a good report it was. All of the different things. Everything's obtained through faith. But what does it say? "Received not the promise." Received not the promise. "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." I'm telling you, you're special. I hope you understand. In Christ. Not in yourself, but in Christ. And what grace that God bestowed upon us, brothers and sisters, to allow us to be born at this time, at this age, under this message. I tell you, it just thrills me. Every hair on my head right now is standing up in thanks and glory to God that He allowed that. I mean, oftentimes I know we look at one another and, oh, wouldn't it have been nice to live in such and such time and how much easier and all of these different things. Maybe so. But the glory which is being bestowed right now in us, and that's Christ in me, is that hope of glory, I'd never trade it. Would you ever trade it? I pray to God we would never want to trade that. These temporal sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's coming. Praise God. It is coming. And hallelujah, I do think it's coming like a freight train. Praise the Lord. All right. So you think about this, though, the better that we studied there in Hebrews, and how precious, again, the pinnacle of it there has some better thing for us. I'm so thankful. But I read here in Peter, and as we read this, I think of, again, we have been given this greatest of treasures, and yet, brothers and sisters, shame on us. I really don't think we fully appreciate it from time to time. I think we neglect so great salvation from time to time. And yet here were these brothers and sisters that diligently sought and inquired in this, and yet, you know what? It wasn't given to them. I pray that we wake up. I pray tonight that we would be inspired again to be fervently in love with this one who has loved us so. They desired to know. They wanted to understand the glory and the sufferings. And again, how special we are to God that God made it known to these prophets. Think about this. God made it known to the Moses. God made it known to the Daniel, etc., that were shown these things that they would not, experience. They knew this, the things that we are to experience in the glory and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So thankful, so blessed, so magnificent. And I glory with my Old Testament brothers and sisters of the things that they went through. How exciting. How wondrous to think of Moses and the deliverance of Israel at that time. Or sweet Ruth or Esther or Joseph and all these great wonderful achievements by faith. And again, all by the grace of God. But what He has in store for us, brothers and sisters, may we glean and believe this. If there is anything real, if there's anything lasting, if there's anything that's forever, it's the Word of God. It is the absolute truth and Word of God. So, I think of it that these brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, again by grace, they were serving God. Sure, it was for their benefit, but you know they were serving God for my benefit? Do you know that? I would hope that we're serving God again by grace, that we would benefit one another. I hope to edify you. I hope you edify me. I hope that's our desire. Praise God. And these brothers and sisters were serving God for our benefit. And I tell you, I'm very thankful to God, and I'm very thankful to the Daniel and to the Moses and to Peter and all of these different ones, and especially Brother Paul. Again, for allowing the faithfulness of God to use a vessel. The treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. I'm forever grateful and thankful to that. But again, the place of love and faith and grace that God has put in you and in me, as the brother prayed about it, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Praise God. All right, now, going on. In verse 12, we see that word revealed. Precious word there, and I'd like to point out it means a veil. A veil. And it brings my heart back to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a place that they could not tread. But again, we know in the Word of God that it was rent in twain for us. That we have free access to it. That veil has been lifted. I praise God, and I think of the sisters and how they're rejoicing in the study of the tabernacle. It's wonderful. Praise God. I'm thrilling of the truths again that God is bringing out and rejoicing that it's becoming real. The light is growing brighter, isn't it? I saw the light, but hallelujah, I didn't realize it was so immense and so bright and ever growing. Praise the Lord. And I see in there, I think of the Holy of Holies. I think there in the ark and how the cherubim, that sweet, precious type of the wonderful full overcomers, the very bride, the vision staring right into that wondrous mercy seat. And again, you think how, praise God, you have to have a vision of that great mercy in order to have a vision that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride, and have a vision that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride, and it might be you. And why not me? That's mercy. That's infinite mercy. That's mercy beyond anything I could ever think of. That, Lord, how could you think of me like that? When my sins were the sins that put you upon that cross. But yet all along, even way back then, before the foundations of the world, but I'm just going to stop right there at the tabernacle in the wilderness. And Lord, you gave me a sweet type that I was by you. That's where you'd want me to be, with you. Right there in the Holy of Holies way back when. And yet they couldn't enter in. Okay? Not trying to stroke you to pump you up anyway, naturally speaking. I just hoping that you know what you can be and the provision that's been made for us in the love and grace of God. Take it. Take it. He's offering this to us. And every day I appreciate the Lord encourage me, son, go. Go on. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it does get painful. Sometimes it is a little strange, I have to admit, the fiery trial. But I look to His Word, and it's all right there. Lord, You knew what You needed to tell me before I ever faced it. If I would just open this Word and allow it. I appreciate Brother Hawkins about saturating yourself in the Word of God. But saturation is not just reading the Word of God. It's believing the Word of God. It's living the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to live in me. More than anything. Lord, this is what very God of very God wants for my life. Quit me. Let Him. Praise God. All right. So, we're so thankful that we have that vision. And notice as we go on there in the 12th verse, how perfect the pattern continues throughout the Word of God. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. It says there, it is reported by them preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down. We had to have Pentecost, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. So vital, so important to receive the enabling of the Comforter that would guide us into all truth. I love the Word of God. I'm so thankful that it is absolutely perfect. It excites me. It thrills me that that pattern that He's woven throughout the ages, and that by being in His Word and part of His Word, by believing in Him, that He is weaving me into that precious, precious truth. Praise God, we're in that. We're in Him. We're one in Him. And I do think of these poor angels. I think of these people that always are, again, they mean it in goodness, but it's just wickedness when they start talking about a child of God, oh, to be an angel. No, you're the only angel I want to be is found there in Revelation as a messenger. And praise God, I hope to be a messenger to the Church of Philadelphia. How about you? I want to be professing the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to limit by the grace of God that grace that He wants to bestow on and in me. How about you? I want it all. Hallelujah. He said I can have it all. Everything. He'll take the things of mine, the Holy Ghost will, of Jesus Christ, and He'll make them mine. That's what I believe. That's what I desire. That's what I want to have. And again, praise the Lord that He's bringing this. But these angels, it's wonderful how they see how glorious what is going on, what is being offered to us. But again, praise God, it's the new creation only that can enter into humans. And that's it. So just know that. Angels are a wonderful thing. I'm thankful to God that He has them and that they're doing exactly what they need to do. And if He uses them to protect me or to do something for me, that's wonderful. But I know He doesn't need them. He doesn't. This is Christ we're talking about. But praise God, He allows that to be used and they have their place. But know that, praise the Lord, only humans that, again, have accepted Christ have the offering and have that new creation. Let's go over, and don't think I was going to leave this out. I know some of you were kind of looking at me. We are going to Ephesians tonight again. So here we go. Let's read a brighter and clearer image of this glory now for a moment. Just can't get away of, again, what the Lord continues to bring out. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. That's Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Praise the Lord. Okay. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we have a mystery, and it's the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Again, my wonderful brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, the worthies of faith, they could not look into this. They prophesied of it. They lived types and shadows for me to, by the grace of God, as the Holy Spirit in them that preached it, and as the Holy Spirit would anoint my life to believe it, I could see that wonderful type and shadow, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Has to be the Holy Spirit, again, that takes the things of Christ and makes them mine. That the Gentiles, and here's your mystery, should be fellow heirs, that word again, joint heirs as man and wife, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It has to be through this gospel. We're going to read and rejoice in this wonderful gospel of Christ this evening. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So isn't that precious? Brother Paul realized it was grace and it was given. Just let's keep giving it. Grace and grace and grace upon grace. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful. Again, Brother Peter was a type. He was a shadow in a sense of a lot of this wondrous word of God that was brought forth. But you talk about the high watermark. You talk about a fully purposed vision of what was hidden from those in the Old Testament. Brother Paul was the vessel that was used to bring forth this mystery that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. Yes, he is. And it's going to be a joint heir as man and wife. Go read through Romans, go through Revelation, throughout the Word of God, over and over, he reveals this wondrous truth to us. All right, let's go back to 1 Peter and pick it up from the 13th verse. Wherefore, girt up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning, that means clothing or conforming to yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And this word ignorance here means willful blindness. When you go back, when you go into these things, once you are a new creation, you're willingly going. You're a willing, blindful participant. All right, come on. Don't get up and go now. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. All right. Well, the first thing we read here in that 13th verse is, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins always speak of that fruitful. Lord always wants us to be fruitful. Praise God. Don't you want to be fruitful? I do believe you do. You want to be a blessing. You want to edify. You want to bring that truth and love. And you want to grow up. But in growing up, I'll tell you what, others are going to grow around you. If you're living that wondrous testimony, I do believe that God has seen fit to give us a body here that is after his very best. But this is a symbolic thing here when it's talking about the loins of your mind. In biblical times, they used to wear these long robes. And when they'd be walking from place to place, they would have to girt them up. They'd have to bring them up and tie them around their waist so that they wouldn't stumble, that they wouldn't trip. Most importantly, so that they could walk and move freely unencumbered. So here with our minds, let's have them stayed upon him. When we lean upon our own understanding, we're going to be encumbered. You're going to be tripped up. You're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be in bondage. You're not going to be able to freely move. Just like in Galatians where Paul said to them, who hath bewitched you? That bewitched goes into a lot of different things, but it's to hinder, to bind, to bound up. That's what legality, that's what anything that we get apart from the truth in love and his grace brings into our life. Brothers and sisters, we need to tend upon the things of the Lord, and that is this word, without distraction. We need to be a steady people. I really believe that. We don't want to be unsteady. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. And I think about the steadiest that I could ever be is standing upon the rock that cannot be moved. To stand in the provision that's already been made, the foundation that's already been laid. Praise God. Let's stand and withstand. But see, when we're tossed to and fro, it's because the Word of God tells us that we are relying on our own steadfastness, our own understanding, instead of letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. His very mind. Praise the Lord. Everything. When the Holy Spirit said He would take the things of Christ and make them ours, there's no limit to that. And praise the Lord, His very mind. And I was watching a show, and my son's been studying the brain, and it's so exciting. I love just to see him just really grasp these things. And, oh, Dad, it's so neat. He brings these pictures home, and here's where you smell, and here's where you taste, and here's where you like music, Dad, and all of this. And I'm thinking, I just see a bunch of gray matter. I don't know what all that is. But he's saying they know all these different things. But praise the Lord, everything, the impulses, the sensations, It comes from here. And really, that's the heart of God is what He's getting at here. Let this mind, let this be everything to you. It will guide you. It'll lead you. It'll bring you through. It'll give you that peace. It'll give you the rest, the comfort. That's the very faith is His mind. It's just knowing. It's Him. Praise God. But it was kind of a little bit disappointing yesterday. I had to admit I was kind of sad because they brought a sheep's brain into class yesterday. And he called me on the phone, my little Evan, and he said, "Dad, we got to look at this sheep's brain." And I said, "You did?" He said, "You can't believe how small it is." And I said, "How big is it?" "Dad, it's teeny." And I said, "I don't have to think very far, do I now?" But it's true. Isn't that something? Came home, he says, "It's just a little teeny, teeny brain for such a big head." I'll stop there. That's not any of us now tonight, is it? God knew what He was doing, didn't He? Could have used any animal, but He got that sheep. All right. We'll bring Brother Ray back up here to remind us if we get a little bit too puffed up about being a ram, huh? Okay. All right. So we're going on here, and it says, "And this mind," he says, praise the Lord, "His mind makes us sober." We want to be sober. This word sober means free from influence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about them that are drunken in the night, them that are sleeping in the night. We want a sober mind. We want to be awake. We want to be alert. We want to be in tune. The Lord has impressed upon my heart to tell us many times, we need to be aware of all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. They're here for us. It's just we have to recognize that God's here. That God wants to be in everything in my life. That it's not something that I'm just picking and choosing. "Well, Lord, I want You here, but I want this too, and I know You can't be a part of that." No. I want to be sober. I want to be alert. Because those that are sleeping will sleep through it. The church is sleeping right now, just like Adam was sleeping when the rib portion was taken out of him. The very bride of Christ was taken, small part, as he was in a slumber. To be awake, to be attentive, to be listening to that soon coming trump. Praise God. Oh, He's here. Oh, He's here. Praise the Lord, to live to the day that Jesus will meet His bride in the air. Praise be to God. All right, so we're thankful that this sober mind makes us full of faith. It causes us to be full of love. It allows us to abound in hope, as it says here. And the hope abounding is found only in one place. And notice that, the end for the grace. It's in grace. We abound in grace, His love, His unmerited favor. I don't abound in my goodness, in my work today. and how many good thoughts I had towards people that didn't have anything. Without love, that's the grace of God, without that love, it profits me nothing. I need to abound in Him and Him alone, in His grace, in His love. And then, as I allow that to flood and fill my life, you better watch out. You can't imagine the goodness that might come. But it's Him. It's His work. We are His workmanship, as we know. And again, the grace. And what is that grace? The revelation, oh, praise God, of Jesus Christ. And I had to tell you, I was thinking, the I told you so of the ages. See, I told you so. You know, as you get there and we're just so thankful to see Him. And I don't know again. But I am so thrilled that we know. We know. We know we'll never take our eyes off Him. But we'll look at Him and we'll say, I told you so. I told you so. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm thankful that I can thrill with Him and speak with Him and talk to Him as a familiar friend. That's what He is to us, brothers and sisters. Everything He said and more, it's here. And it's going to all be revealed and continue to be revealed at His coming. Praise be to God. And we should serve God acceptably. See, this is the obedient children. The Word of God says, which is our reasonable service. And why we should, I want you to go back over to Galatians 2:20. I know we know this well, but let's read this together. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is how we can live a life that's pleasing to Him. This is why we should live a life that's pleasing to Him. Because we know that I am crucified with Christ. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we became crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, listen to this, believe this word. If it's not of faith, what is it? It's sin. The life that you live now is faith. That sinfulness that's coming in, that's not you. That's not the life that you live. The life that you live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what causes me to yield. His love for me. Lord, You loved me. You love me. You gave Yourself for me. I'm becoming more satisfied with that every day. Satisfied with Jesus alone. Lord, will and do in me of Your good pleasure. Take away that selfishness. Take away those thoughts, those ignorant thoughts. I'm not that person. I'm new creation. I have Your life. I am holy. I am acceptable. Praise God. The atonement's been made. I can freely go into the Holy of Holies. I can boldly ask. You want to see me. That's how God sees you. He's not ashamed of you. And He's saying, don't be ashamed of me. I love you. I want you with me. I've cleansed you. You think you're dirty, but you're not. I've cleansed you. Now come on. Let's live the life that I've given you. That's your life. Okay. See how intimate His Word is to us. Because we have His very life, it enables us. And because we have His very life, as we go back here into Peter, in that verse 14, the ignorance is gone. That ignorance is gone. It really is. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Word of God tells us that. We have been and are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Word of God tells us that. There's no excuse anymore, brothers and sisters. We're without excuse. Because we can yield. We can yield to that new life. Praise the Lord. We can live a life full of the Holy Ghost. Yep. He wants us to live a life that's full of the Holy Ghost, that's overflowing and of this wonderful power, the power of His might. And then finally, He says there in that 15th and 16th verse about be ye holy. Now, we know in the Word of God that as His children, we are holy. We are righteous. But the call here, brothers and sisters, is for us to live it. To be who we are. To not live below our means. As I was so sweetly reminded by my sister the other day again. Help us, God, to not live below our means in You. That wonderful picture that Brother Hill used to give us so many times. There you are with the crown on your head, the kingdom's in the background, and yet you're out in the pig pen, wallowing around in the mud. It's the truth. Be who you are in Christ. Be holy. Live that sanctified or set apart life which He has called us to, separated to God. And again, only by grace through faith is this love accomplished that will take and lay hold of how we can be separated, that wonderful sanctification to Him. Now, we're going to go back to Ephesians. I believe this 13th through 16th verse was somewhat of Peter's prayer in a way. I'm not trying to make more of it than it is, but let's go back over here to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's read of the high water mark. The one who had a vision by the grace of God, again, of that very high calling. Brother Paul's prayer in chapter 3, verse 13. He says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about someone who had the Philadelphia love. Fervent love for his brothers and sisters in Christ. May we follow this dear brother as he followed Christ. And he followed Jesus Christ in fervent love. He had a passion, an absolute passion to win Christ. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The full of the Holy Ghost life. That's your strength. The power from up on high. Praise God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. I think how Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be attentive. Brother Paul said, okay, let's put it in action. Praise God. Comprehend this. He wants you to. You've been invited. You've been invited to have the mind of Christ to comprehend this with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know, to comprehend and to know that mind, praise God, to be sober, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, filled with all the fullness of God, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Again, you talk about the epitome of be holy. There it is. The love of God. That's holiness. That is the wonderful holiness of God, His wondrous love, and to know, to comprehend, and to live that wondrous love. All right, let's go back to Peter and let's pick it up from the 17th verse. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, so again, he would that all men be saved, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And I think, how magnificent. How many times over and over I have heard, and you hear as well too, a sinner claim that they believe in God. Did you read what we just read there in the 21st verse? It says, who by him do believe in God. It is so in his Son. He put everything so in his Son that you cannot believe in God without believing in Jesus Christ. You cannot. I believe the Word of God. You can tell me as a sinner, well, I believe in God. And in my ignorance, I thought, okay, well, you might be able to. I needed to read the Word of God and understand this and to quit thinking as a child. You don't realize how sovereign God is and how much He has put, when I say how much, it's everything in His Son. You cannot believe in God, not in this God, and there's no other God but Him. So you cannot believe in God without believing in His Son. It's by Him we believe in God. It has to be the blood, brothers and sisters. He must see the blood applied in and upon our lives. Tradition's not going to get it. Religion's not going to get it. Man's philosophy's not going to get it. By the blood. By the blood. So simply, isn't it? But yet so exact, so endless in depth. The blood. The blood, the very grace of God. It is poured out freely. The lifeblood of His Son. That's His grace. Aren't you so thankful that it is that simple? That back there, when those plagues came upon Egypt, when they put the blood upon the door, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, the importance of that blood. Abel knew the importance of that blood, didn't he, that sweet brother? Cain, so defiant. Lord, I'm going to come with the works of my hands. I'm going to show you what I've done. And God says, that's abominable to me. It's my Son. It's all in that blood. Vain repetitions. Oh my. I do not want to be judged by the works of my flesh. Oh no. Oh no. But His work of grace and truth that has built faith in my life, that's the reward that He is judging right now, because there's going to be a reward that's with Him when He comes to meet me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. According as He hath chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And brothers and sisters, as we read in the 20th verse, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Do you see how much God wants you to know how special you are to Him? That before He had a thought of anything, it was you. You talk about love. You know, we think about how people have loved and admired somebody for years, and they would write in their diary about them and think about them and go look and are waiting for them and everything. Just realize how much God loves you. Before any of it, before a star was ever hung. This is what he's saying here. Before there was ever light, before there was ever oxygen, any of this, he was thinking of you. Amen. Now, I know you're saying, there's just no way. It's just too good to be true. Well, that's Jesus. He's just too good to be true. I'm just so thankful. No one could have written this except very God, a very God. Oh, people would just open up their heart, what God would fill it with. Praise the Lord. But reading on there, it says that before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He took pleasure in this. This is the very will of God. He would that all men be saved and come to that full knowledge of the truth. He saw how beautiful this would be, that this was the perfected way, the only way. That, so simply put to my understanding, is that God would have a family. That he knew that man alone, it wasn't good for him to be alone. And how precious that was with his son. That he knew that this was the perfect way for his son to have a bride. But having predestinated us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You're always going to praise that grace because it's all in that. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Do you see how perfect and exact and complete and yet simple that is? It's in nothing I could do. It's not in joining a church. No. It's not in the family that I was born into. It's not in how many good works or what this world thinks of me. It's what I think of His blood. It's what I believe in His blood. That's it. That's what cleanses. That's what perfects. That's why He's no respecter of person. Because anyone can believe that. Anyone. All men should. And that's what He gave. The forgiveness of sins in His blood, according to the riches of His grace. And the riches of grace, brothers and sisters, is what you'll find in His blood. Hallelujah. It's, again, one-stop shopping in Jesus Christ. Don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to go searching anything else. It's all in the Word. Let this be the satisfier. Praise God. I encourage you to soak it up. Saturate yourself in it. Going on, verse 22, and we'll close this up. Seeing ye have purified your souls. This is back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, what a message just in this one verse. And we're going to break this down just for a moment. It's through the Spirit that you obey the truth. It's the only way. The Holy Spirit is the one that will convict your heart to obey the truth. Again, that heart and life full of the Holy Ghost. We cannot obey. We cannot know. We cannot be led into all truth. We cannot come to a full knowledge of the truth. It's impossible without the Holy Ghost. Period. Period. It's something that we have got to want as well too. We have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to be still and know that I am God. And in that, you're still under that instruction of the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. If you want this fervent love that it speaks of here, with a pure heart fervently, and I believe you do, I don't believe you just hopefully be coming on a Wednesday night for nothing. But that's what it produces, the unfeigned, the unending, the love without hypocrisy. This is God's very own agape love is what we're speaking of here. Brother Peter was beginning to get that when Jesus Christ so sweetly challenged him. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know, I love you. Now let me go back to eating. Or talking or whatever I was doing. No, Peter, do you love me? Well, sure I love you, Lord. It's great. You know, we're here. I could see I got things to do. Peter, do you love me? Do you lovest thou me more than these? That's who I'm looking for. That's the true worshiper that my Father is looking for me, who worships Him in spirit and in truth. The one who cannot take His eyes off of me, Peter. The one who adores me. The one who is the type of the disciple that He loved. Oh, sweet John. The one who put His head upon His breast. And said, Lord, I don't want to go nowhere else. I just want to be with You. Brothers and sisters, the storms are raging right now. They're raging. They really are. I'm not trying to scare you. It's just a fact. Where else would you want to be but your head put upon the breast of your Jesus? Amen. Oh, praise God to have that fervent love. And I'll tell you, that's the fervent Philadelphia love. And the bride of Christ has every bit of that Philadelphia love in her. I pray that the Lord will connect this for us all this evening. But going on in verse 23. Being born again. See, it's a good thing to be born again. Don't be ashamed of it. I am born again. Yes, I am a nut, if that's what you want to think. But I am so thankful I'm born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And it's all by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh. What do they call that? Cryonics? It's not going to help you. Okay, that's where they freeze you. It's kind of an icky thing to think. Never mind. All right. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, see, it's the gospel, is preached unto you. It's a glorious gospel. It is a glorious gospel. It's the gospel of grace. And it's just what it says it is. It's incorruptible. We have His very life. Never to be corrupted. That's why when He told you, what shall separate you from the love of God? The answer is nothing. No way. Because I have the incorruptible life of Jesus in me. And know for a fact that all of man's efforts, all of his accomplishments, all of his feats, all of his wealth, etc., 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 is all nothing. The Word of God tells us that the things that are seen are what? Temporal. And the things that are unseen, they're forever. It's eternal. It's forever. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There's no end to the Word. And specifically, it's this gospel. The gospel of grace. And that is how the Lord chose to apply it to us and in us. It's grace. And as we go this evening, let's read one last verse together in closing. And that's in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This will be a wonderful one to, again, just meditate upon tonight. And now, brethren, that means right now, I commend you to God. Nothing else, just to God. and to the word of His grace. There it is. The grace, the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. How set apart to God do you want to go? Huh? That bride goes into the secret inner chamber, doesn't she? The most intimate of places. And I believe the Lord is encouraging our hearts to go there. Let's stand and be dismissed.